हरिः ॐ सहनवतु सहनौ भुनक्थु सह वीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्तिश्शान्तिश्शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्णचैतन्यप्रभुनित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्त वृंद हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे जय। सो देन वी आर रीडिंग फ्रॉम देन द भागवत संदर्भ अध्याय 3 आदिकाण 5 वी आर ऑन पेज 94 राइट। You all still have the book? Yeah? Okay, very good. Okay, so basic thing to catch on this, the Bhagavad Sandarbha, because it's establishing Krishna's supremacy, right? So how he is supreme. And generally when we think of supremacy, then we're going to think of the features of, his all-pervadingness, his all-knowingness, and all these kind of elements that like that that tend to be expansions of the impersonal aspect. So these positions are being established here, but always in connection with Bhagavan. That's uniqueness of that. That's why it's Bhagavat Sandarbha. Even though it's establishing his supremacy, throughout the cosmos, it's still the Bhagavat Sandarbha because it's about how he as a person is doing that. It's not someone else is doing this like that. And so, keeping that in mind, then it makes it much more, how you say, appreciative like that. So then, okay, continuing here, then what is the main thing that was made here? Okay, this is Anucheda 64. Vaikuntha is of the same nature that is provided, proved by the following. And the same nature means that it's also transcendental. Okay, so the Lord's transcendental, his realm is transcendental. So you're trying to establish that existence is connected to him. And what's directly connected, that's transcendental. And the material world, though it's connected with him, being temporarily manifested, it doesn't take on the transcendental qualities of eternity, knowledge, and bliss. Even though it's one of his eternal energies, its manifestation is temporary. Okay. By miss, yes, please.
Can you just remind us why Jiva Goswami separated the Paramatma feature into a separate book, but then combined the Bhagavan and Brahman feature in Bhagavad Sandarbha? I'm not clear on that point. I mean, I just forgot about it.
Yes. No, it's not. It's explaining this general nature. We're getting it.
Now we hear the echo.
Yeah. Maybe just turn off your mic. Yeah, now no echo? Yeah, now we're good. Yeah, we had that problem with Pune Temple also. They have a big hall and it echoes and then like that. So it's not that Bhagavan aspects being explained here in the Bhagavat Sandarbha. What's explaining is how the person is the supreme, how he's existence, how he's all pervading. But he is a person, meaning Bhagavan, meaning having all the six opulences and interacting with the devotees. That's what's going to be happening in the Krishna Sandarbha. And Paramatma Sandarbha, then it's describing the aspects of how he's controlling his energies, right? He's the lord of all energies. So the first aspect of in the Dasamul that we're talking here is with Krishna is that he's the supreme absolute truth. No one's superior to him. He's the source of everything. So that's this Bhagavat Sandarbha. But then the next point that's made is that he is the lord of his energy, so he controls the energy. So it's not that he's just they're there and he can't control them, and so therefore then whatever it is, who is it fell down, Michael or Gabriel, somebody fell down, and then he creates all this trouble, and then God has to fight with him and everything like that. And no, he's in control of everything at all times, down to the atom. Then in the third section, it's how he's the Lord of Rasa, right? So how he's the Lord of, existence, how he's the Lord of his energies, and how he's the Lord of Rasa. Because the existence, that's, you know, your Jnana Shakti principle. And then the Lord of his energies, that's the Kriya. And so then as Bhagavan, that's the Lord of Icha. So we see these three features. So in any one of the features, you're going to have him being the Lord. And having all, means all three features are always there, but it's where the emphasis is. And when you emphasize it, it changes the flavor, you know? So just like, let's say we're eating falafels. You still have salad there, but it's not that you eat the salad and that salad goes inside, you know? So everything's there, but it has a different feature, how it's presented, because it's bringing out that element, that aspect. So because he is, you know, it's the existence of everything, how it's there, how he pervades everything. That's there. That's the Bhagavad. That's the first one. But otherwise, because we just say Brahman, people might just look at the Brahman aspect and not connect it to the person, because that's one of our weaknesses, is that we see how he's all-pervading, all-knowing and all that, and we think that impersonal aspect is kind of the basis. Then beyond that, there's the person. But that's from our vision here. You know, but it's actually, he is the person is first. Then he is, he has these other two features. So the person is the original feature. That's the standard. These others are two aspects of that. So that's then why it's brought out in that kind of way. Does that make any sense? Yeah. Okay. Good. Okay. Okay, so by mystic yoga, great austerities, and renounced order of life, the pure destinations of Mahar, Jana, Tapa, and Satya are attained. But by bhakti yoga, one achieves my abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 11:24, 12-14. Those who attain siddhis by yoga attain places beyond the three worlds, like Mahar Loka. Below the earth are places like Atala. The three worlds consist of Bhu, includes lower planets. Bhuvar and Swarga. Karma is for householders, and austerity is for brahmacharis and vanaprastas. The brahmachari who later becomes a householder goes to Mahar, and the permanent brahmachari goes to Janaloka. The vanaprasta goes to Tapaloka. The sannyasi goes to Brahmaloka. According to the method, they attain different destinations. Right, so Krishna's pointing out is that they're doing some very great things, because what happens is we tend to very much idealize these aspects, yoga, austerities, renounced order, you know, the studying, the charity, all these secondary aspects of bhakti, because for us, we're used to those being, you know, very prominent. Because in this world, that's the only things that you actually see. Someone's religious, he's charitable, he's nice, oh, he knows Shastra, he knows like that. But the actual devotion and all that's another thing. That's why people get really, really disturbed if someone who has these qualities has some flaw in their character. So it's kind of like expected that that's there, but there's no focus on it. There's no training in that. There's no emphasis on that. So that becomes a very difficult element in the teaching process, is that because of our inductive kind of position, we kind of forget the ultimate position of pure devotional service and Krishna as a person. So because of that, then we tend to forget that. So therefore, that's also, you can say, why the Bhagavat, you have to make sure that's there. Because Paramatma, okay, you're going to connect it to a person, right? Krishna, you're going to connect to a person. But if we're explaining the impersonal features of Krishna, the tendency is to not look at it as a person. And so then we think that from that has come, because that's the, all the material qualities, I mean, material philosophies will work on that principle that life has come from matter, right? And so because life has come from matter, then we see is also, they try to say is this element of Krishna is even, either he's come from matter or if he's spiritual, he's come from Brahman, right? So there's some kind of transformation of Brahman. So the material energy is the transformation of Brahman. The jivas are a transformation of Brahman. And the Lord is a transformation of Brahman. So that's their tendency of what they try to establish. So that's the difficulty, is that unless they appreciate that, that the Bhagavan aspect, then they'll get lost. So that's why you have to bring that out. So here we see is such great things as the austerities that are there, right? So by yoga, you know, in other words, if you're using some form of yoga, then you can go beyond the realms of Indra, right? Because the 22 heavenly planets, those are all controlled by Indra. So you can say that that's generally what you'd call swarga, right? But we see is that those who are austere and all that, they go beyond that platform and they go to the Satyaloka planetary system, which has these three features to it. So then the brahmacharis, you know, how you say, so basically here, karma is for householders, austerity is for brahmacharis. So, but these are householders that are controlling the senses, engaged in the yoga process and all that. They can go to these particular planets. So the brahmachari, okay, he goes to Maharloka, because we know that as a brahmachari is good brahmachari, becomes a grihastha, but as a yogi, he goes to Mahar because that's where the prajapatis are situated, right? So they're all grihasthas, but you see as the yoga element is more prominent in their lives, while we see Indra and all those personalities, it's more, so it's more of a kshatriya culture and more of an enjoyment and, you know, ruling the universe. While then we see with, the Prajapatis and Maharloka, from up there, everybody's Brahmins. It's all a Brahminical kind of mood or flavor. And even if you do have Kshatriyas like Swayambhuva Manu, you still have the element is they're as good as Brahmins, like Yudhishthira Maharaj. He was as good as a Brahmin, you know, like that. Okay, they go to, permanent Brahmacharis go to Janaloka, just for that. Okay, Vanaprastha goes to Tapaloka. And the sannyasi goes to Brahmaloka. So the Vanaprastha has been through the Brahmachari because he's nicely situated at that. He goes to Jhana, but then we see is that there's even more as the Vanaprastha. He's taking a step further. He goes to Tapa, and then the sannyasi goes to Brahmaloka. So we're used to, oh, such great things. But Krishna's pointing out is that they go to these, but one who follows Bhakti Yoga, they go to him. So even though we're establishing the greatness and special position of these good qualities, you know, following the Varnashram and following the knowledge and austerities and duties that come with it. But we see is that these personalities attain those kind of positions, but by bhakti, it's higher. So the point is the existence connected with Krishna directly as a person is higher than the existence connected with pious activities. So that always has to be appreciated because Bhaktivinoda Thakur is pointing this out in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, the aspect of faith. Okay. Yes. Here, this is from the Madhya Lila 2262. So here's he's defining Shraddha. By rendering transcendental loving service to Krishna, one automatically performs all subsidiary activities. This confident, firm faith, favorable to the discharge of devotional service, is called Shraddha. So in other words, that devotional service, everything is whatever good activities are to be done are accomplished by devotional service. That kind of appreciation, that's called faith. So if it's you know, sometimes there, sometimes not, it'll be Anishta Bhakti. But then by purifying the heart and all that through the devotional process, then that one becomes firmly fixed in that. So then we see is that this point of firm faith, then we see that in Nishta, right? So that's the point that you have to be convinced of that. If you hold on to, you know, certain political things or economic or other aspects that these are very much required, that's what makes devotional service nice, or, you know, how well organized everything is and all that, that will make it very nice. Then these will get in the way, and means your faith is still a bit kamal, a bit weak. But then when it becomes strong, then we see then you become fixed. And then in that fixed state, then one can progress very nicely. So that's the whole point of devotional service, is that having that kind of faith, that's what makes things happen. You switch places. Okay, so I get it. It means the idea was is that the wife is always on the left side of the husband, and so that's why you switch places. Or...
No, okay, I did something.
Oh, you pushed some button and it switched.
Okay. Yeah, I was checking how much battery I have on my phone,
so it's switched. Yeah, I figured out. I'm using this funny angle because I just plugged the phone in and run it.
But I'm using the headphones, the same plug, so I have to check.
Oh, before it runs out. I see. Yeah. No, because I'm using the wireless.
Yeah.
Okay. Sorry. So is that clear now? These kind of things like that. So we're establishing the position that the Lord is supreme. That means his abode is supreme. And we'll see his devotees are supreme, his pastimes are supreme, his name form qualities are supreme, everything about him is supreme. So whatever is there in the cosmos that is great, he's greater than that because he's the origin. Right? The Lord's abode, Madgati, Vaikuntha, is attained by bhakti. Those who hear topics other than the glorification of Krishna, unworthy topics which destroy intelligence, cannot enter Vaikuntha. Topics heard by those unfortunate persons, taking away their good fortune, throw them into hell with no shelter. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15.23. So Uddhriti, Srila Prabhupada. The most unfortunate persons are the impersonalists, who cannot understand the transcendental variegatedness of the spiritual world. They are afraid to ask about the beauty of the Vaikuntha planets, because they think that variegatedness must be material. Such impersonalists think that the spiritual world is completely void, or in other words, that there is no variegatedness. This mentality is described here as kukata, mati gnihi, intelligence bewildered by unworthy words. The philosophies of voidness and the impersonal situation of the spiritual world are condemned here because they bewilder one's intelligence. How can the impersonalist and the void philosopher think of this material world, which is full of variegatedness, and then say there's no variegatedness in the spiritual world? Right? It is said that this material world is a perverted reflection of the spiritual world. So unless there's variegatedness in the spiritual world, how can there be temporary variegatedness in the material world? That one can transcend this material world does not imply that there's no transcendental variegatedness. Right? So this position of understanding this Satkaryavad about how cause and effect becomes a very important element in appreciating the philosophy that the material world being a perverted reflection of the spiritual, it has all these different qualities. They're not quite up to the standard, but at least they look like it. You know, it's like... sometimes you look on internet, you want to buy something, and online it looks really, really great. But when you get it, you find out it's not very well made or cheap or something like that. So that's the material world. It looks like it's the real thing, but it's not quite there, right? So this position, you know, you can see it's from Satkaryavad. Some element is there. It's not complete. It's not full, but it has some aspect. But this philosophy is only accepted amongst the Vaishnavas, right? And especially, specifically, the Gaudiya Vaishnavas. the Achinta Beta Beta Tattva. It's a very strong aspect. Yes, please.
Maharaj, it means that Satkaryavada only Vaishnavas accept.
From what I can see, right? Isn't that? You were saying Satkaryavada only the Vaishnavas accept? Oh, yeah, and Shankya. And Shankya. Shankya and Vaishnavas, they accept it. But the other...
You mean the real Shankya?
Don't. Real Shankya? Even the bogus Shankya, they also accept. But they just maybe don't take it as far. They only take it, you know, the mud in the pot and, you know, that kind of stuff. They don't take it far enough back.
Can we say that other Vaishnava Sampradayas, they don't accept Satkaryavada? I'm not talking about
the Vaishnava Sampradayas.
Cannot hear you.
Madhvas accept the Ramanujas. It's kind of like it's there, but it's not an important part of their philosophy.
Why is it so important for us?
Because otherwise, then how it means he's a person, we're a person. You know, he's individual, we're individual. He's conscious, we're conscious. So everything then is functioning from that platform, this way, because it's coming from him. So it's part of this aspect of the Bhagavat Sandarbha, is that appreciating that everything in its existence is there because of Krishna. So the uniqueness of existence, but you have every an item to be, you know, its own individual position. It must have a separate existence. It must have some uniqueness, or visesha. It must have an activity or an action, that's the kriya, and then it has the goal or something that it can do, this purpose. So these four aspects, that's how you identify something. So that's there because all these aspects are there in Krishna, right? He talks, so we talk. You know, everybody has a language because of that. Everybody has what they value, right? You know, you can even see birds, you know, they may exchange things, or someone else, animals, they might give something to someone, another animal. You know, so these concepts are there in everything because it comes from Krishna. So in the spiritual world, and it's in its natural state, material world, it will be perverted in that it'll be about us. The form of it still may be fairly close to proper in that, if you're following the piety and the related in the Shastras, then the form and the effects that you get are going to be similar. But the difference is going to be the devotional effect on the consciousness will be different, right? So you have the different devotees and all that, their feeling of separation from Krishna. You'll find that in the material world, separation from relationships and all that. But it takes on the material qualities. You see, in the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, then Bhaktivinoda Thakur is explaining that the primary dharma of the soul is that of devotional service, right? We're servants, and so we serve Krishna with the desire to please him, right? So devotional service then is defined by Lord Chaitanya as engaging the senses for the pleasure of Krishna. And that's called Abhideya, right? So this idea of engaging the senses in everything in Krishna's service, then that's the nature of the living entity. So he identifies as servant of Krishna. He is engaging his senses in Krishna's service, and he's doing that to please Krishna. So all the three aspects of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana are there. Now, the thing is that now this is the natural dharma. Now, the secondary, attributes of dharma, there we go. Okay, now you can hear us now? Yeah?
Yes, we can hear you, but we can't see you, Maharaj.
Yeah. No, the current went off. So.
Oh, I see.
Then the curtain's not open. Can you open this curtain?
Okay. It's okay. We can.
We'll try to open. We'll try to open the curtain. Yeah, there's that tie over there. Yeah, no. Just pull it over there and hook it. Yeah, from the bottom. Put it on the bottom. Just grab it there. Yeah, pull it. No, grab the whole thing. Pull the whole thing over and just loop it around. Yeah, okay. A little better. Okay, so then these elements of bhakti, when they take on when they're not seen in the context of serving Krishna, then the secondary qualities, means this attributes of bhakti that have now taken shelter of the material, you know, elements, the material qualities and material relationships, right? So let's say the same activity, let's say Mother Yashoda in her service to Krishna, right? And that rati for Krishna is directed at Krishna. Then she's using the spiritual energy and with spiritual qualities to in the spiritual relationship with Krishna. But now the secondary, then we see is like in Varnashram or like that, then the mother is taking care of the child, it's taking shelter of the material energy of material bodies. And you're using material qualities in a material relationship. All right. So then we see is that a difficulty comes up there is that unless it's seen a connection with Krishna, it maintains a material nature. Right, so that's the point is that if something's connected to Krishna, then it's all glorious, and if it's not, then it doesn't have that glory. So what one's trying to do is seeing that the primary is there, it's always about Krishna, and then the secondaries, they're there in context of that, then they become an ornament, right? So that somebody has, you know, good knowledge, good skills, good character. He deals properly in his relationships. All these things that we would, you know, on the material platform we call piety, now they become an ornament of the living entity. But they only have that value in its connection with devotional service. Then it takes on those qualities. Otherwise, then we see is what happens is that these things got lost. Somebody is very pious this lifetime. Where are they now? You know, it's like Prabhupada just mentioned from Mahabharata. We have nothing to do with Nala and Damayanti. Where are they now? They're gone. Because they were just super pious living entities. But the Pandavas, then they continue. Right? They actually continue because they'll just go to another universe where the Lord's pastimes are going on. So that's the thing is these qualities, it becomes very important that these qualities are there and that these qualities are dealt with in the context of service to Krishna. And if that's there, then everything becomes very nice. So that's the thing to catch from all this is that yes, all these great nice austerities and yoga and, you know, following a varnashram, all these nice religious activities that are mentioned in the scriptures, they only have a value in connection with Krishna. And when they're not connected to Krishna, then they're nice, but they're temporary and they're lost. They are, you can't keep them. So they you know, yes, they become an ornament for whoever they are, but it's temporary, it doesn't give a long-term result. So that's the thing is that the materialist, he's pious, he's nice. And you can say as an individual, he may have some character, you know, in that way there's some ornament that's there, but the difficulty comes down is that it will be lost. He will get no benefit as a living entity. Just his situation he's in is nice. While then we see that the devotees, they have these same ornaments or can develop these same ornaments, but they're using them in Krishna's service. So along with the direct activities of devotional service, these secondary aspects support the devotional service. And so therefore, then these ornaments then make things nice for them while they're here, but also they, because they're connecting to Krishna, they get that spiritual benefit. So that's why the importance of these. So we see is this, some other times this modern approach is that they're trying to approach these qualities or relationships or matter as if it's significant on its own, but it's not being seen as secondary relationships, secondary attributes. They're taking it that it's the same. So it means that there's a lack of appreciation of what is spiritual and what's material. And that's the opening of the Bhagavatam, is that truth means being able to tell the difference between matter and spirit. Truth doesn't mean mundane facts, because the problem with mundane facts is, yes, something may exist, but unless you understand it in the context of Krishna's perspective, then your view of it is illusory. So it's not truth. So truth can only mean facts in context of Krishna. Everything else is illusion. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Here in the Bhagavatam, in this verse particularly, it is stressed that people who try to discuss and understand the real spiritual nature of the spiritual sky and the Vaikunthas are fortunate. The variegatedness of the Vaikuntha planets is described in relation to the transcendental pastimes of the Lord. But instead of trying to understand the spiritual abode and the spiritual activities of the Lord, people are interested in politics and economic developments. They hold many conventions, meetings, and discussions to solve the problems of the worldly situation, where they can remain for only a few years. But they are not interested in understanding the spiritual situation of the Vaikuntha world. If they are all fortunate, they become interested in going home back to Godhead. But unless they understand the spiritual world, they rot in this material darkness continuously. So we see here is that trying to understand about the Lord, because if you're understanding the Lord, seeing that the material world is part of his creation, it includes the material world. But it's one quarter of the whole creation. So we see it's not, it has less importance, but its only importance is because of its connection to Krishna. So we see that, then it has some value. Right? So this impersonal kind of approach doesn't have any importance. Devarshi, you wanted to say something?
Yes, Maharaj. You know, is it connected to the idea of the primary and secondary?
Yes, yes. The primary and secondary is that. It's just that Bhaktivinoda Thakur here is giving another view of it. Because generally we look at, okay, you have the direct activities, the devotional service, and you have indirect. But here's also, he's talking about devotional service as the primary dharma or nature of the living entities. Yes. While these same activities performed on the external platform, these are secondary.
Yes.
Right? So that's why, let's say, how Nanda Baba deals with Krishna, you know, as a parent, these same activities are done in the material platform between parents and children. They don't change. But the difference is that there it directly is Krishna, while here it's not directly Krishna. So we have to see as devotees and then the connection of devotees to Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's why it's secondary, because CC also gives the point is that the primary, it's you hear about Krishna, you're directly connecting Krishna. You chant about Krishna, you're directly contacting Krishna. You worship the deity, you're directly contacting Krishna. So any of these, you know, five main items that are there, or you can say are the nine items of devotional service, these are directly contacting Krishna. But let's say he gives the example of taking a bath. You take a bath, yes, and it purifies the mind, the body, it's good for the health, refreshes, you know, so many things it does. But the effect of the bath is not Krishna consciousness. It's effect, you know, how it affects the gross and subtle body. then you could, in that state, now go to the temple and worship the deity, or sit down and chant your japa, or like this. So there is a result that's in between what you're doing and Krishna. So the direct or the primary means the activity is directly Krishna consciousness, while the secondary means it itself's not necessarily Krishna conscious, but you can make it Krishna conscious.
Yes.
Yeah, does that make sense? Because yes, you can get a different result in between. You could take a bath and then go out to the disco.
Yes.
Right, you know, so that's the thing, is it doesn't necessarily connect. That's the problem. So, but devotees, they connect them so that he takes a bath and he dresses nicely and speaks nicely. These are all ornaments. He can say, yes, he's a gentleman. But the point is, it has to be that it's connected to Krishna. Then it takes on the devotional quality. Otherwise, it doesn't. Does that make sense? So it's the same principle that we're talking before, primary, secondary, or principle in detail, you know, or direct and indirect. It's just being applied according to the dharma or nature of the living entity. So for the soul, the devotional activities do something directly for the soul. The secondary only maintain the body. That's all they do. You take a bath, you do all these things, they maintain the body. They don't do anything for the soul. You know, if you follow Varnashram, it's not that it does something for the soul, but it does something for the body, right? Your body's maintained. And at the same time as you deal nicely in it, then others deal nicely and everything works well for you, right? And if you don't, then people are upset. Things don't go as fortunate for you. Your facilities don't work out as good, right? So that's why we follow. It creates a nice environment for it. And it's an opportunity to interact with the Vaishnavas. Is that okay?
Can we say that there is a different Sandarbha, like Bhagavad Sandarbha, is mainly to focus on Bhagavad with the primary? And Brahman.
It's showing how all the expansions that we're dealing with in the secondary, how that connects back to Krishna. Right. So in other words, the secondary here connects back to the secondary there, which is all in service to Krishna. So there you don't need to make a distinction between the primary and the secondary. Mother Jashoda cooking for Krishna, and that you don't have to make a distinction. It's just directly devotional service.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah. So that's an important element, is that we appreciate that. We're the ones, because we have to remember, is material consciousness means is that you have the Jnana Kriya and Icha Shaktis, right? And the living entity is, you know, there in the spiritual platform. And so he doesn't have a problem with the knowledge. He doesn't have the problem with the relationships. He doesn't have the problem with the activities and the results that they gain. He doesn't have a problem with the particular experiences that are there in the knowledge, the process, and result. What he has a problem in is that, why does it have to be for Krishna? Why can't I just do this for myself? You know what I'm saying? You know, just like, let's say, you have all the cooks in the restaurant, right? And they're cooking all day, and whatever they cook, then, you know, after going to through the sous chef, then it goes straight out and, you know, into the place, people eat it and they don't get it. So then all these cooks and that back there, they all decide, why should we do it? Why can't we get? You know, we have all this knowledge and skills and we're very expert. Why can't we cook and we'll enjoy this? And so then they cook up a big meal. They all sit there, you know, around, you know, eating and chatting and all this. And then the boss comes in. Right? And then we kind of have, you know, the Verdi Requiem going on. Right? So then there's a problem there. But their thing is, well, what's wrong? Because that's not what it's for. That's not the nature. So that's the thing, is they've engaged their secondary nature very nicely, but the primary, you know, in this case, you know, is lost. So this aspect of that, because we try to make so much distinction between the material and spiritual, it's the same problem. Is that okay? Just like let's say we're reading here about the impersonalists. You know, there's variety, and so therefore, in the spiritual world, there can't be variety. Mm-hmm. So that principle of looking at it from the material viewpoint, then we can do the same thing. Like the Sahajiyas, they're also doing the same. They're applying what's supposed to be the primary the dharma, but they're applying according to the secondary, according to their own body and other bodies around, their own emotions, their own relations.
Yes.
And so it's the same material mistake, just made from the other side. The sentimental side is making the mistake rather than the intellectual side.
Yes.
But it's the same principle, that we neglect, you know, what's real for what's not real, and we can't tell the difference properly.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Maharaj, it is only a question of identification.
Of identification, yes, yes. Because that's why the first thing is, yes.
It seems that it is, according to our identification, we act in a certain way.
Yes. So when we identify as servant of Krishna, that's when it works properly.
Yes.
And when we don't identify as servant of Krishna, that's when we have a problem.
Yes.
So that's why that's the first thing, you know, so we're servant of Krishna. Yes. Krishna is the absolute. He's the one to be worshipped. And the process for that is engaging our senses in his service. Yes. So we can see is that, yes, it's very fundamental. And that's the point, is everything expands from here, how we're servant. Like, that one's a resident of Vrindavan, that's a specific aspect of service. That within Vrindavan, one's in a particular relationship. Within that relationship, you have particular service. These are just details of I'm Krishna Das, Nitya Krishna Das.
Yes.
I engage my senses in the Lord's service. Then there's a detail of what senses in which way are engaged in which aspects for Krishna. And then the love for Krishna is there, that is for Krishna's pleasure. And so then what that particular, you know, rati is and how that's expressed, you know, under the other great personalities, that's then details. But it's all part of the same thing. So all these have to be expressed. But sometimes we see, you know, especially we see in, let's say we take, the soft preaching, generally these three points are avoided. But if they're avoided, how does it switch from mundane piety to devotion? It might switch from material impiety to material piety. You know, like sometimes they say, oh, we're just trying to bring them to goodness, and then from goodness, then, you know, in the future they can get to pure, you know, pure goodness and like that. But that's not actually our business, you know. It may come as a side thing for some of the people, but it's not our main thing. It's not why we do something. So there has to be the understanding, is when you're dealing with dharma, there's the dharma, the secondary dharma, and there's the primary. The primary is the dharma of the soul. The secondary is the dharma of your particular, physical, psychological nature. You know, that it's based on the metaphysics of the primary creation. Is that okay?
Yes, Maharaj. Thank you.
Okay. So then... Yes. So then continuing here. Concerning the planet, Brahma speaks to the demigods, devatas. Vaikuntha is filled with airplanes made of gold, Vaidurya and emeralds. It seems Vaidurya is lapis lazuli. You know, I just the other day saw some translation and it said the Vaidurya is lapis lazuli. So it seems lapis lazuli plays a very prominent role in the spiritual world. It's a prominent, here it's not so much of a prominent stone, but there it's more prominent. So it is filled with airplanes made of gold, Vaidurya, and emeralds, obtained solely by worship of the Lord's lotus feet, right? So that's why they have these. Why in the heavenly planets, they have the vimanas and all that due to piety. So depending on your piety, then you have your quality of your viman. You know, so you have the Ferrari or the Ford Pinto. You know, that's the thing to see. It is filled with devotees absorbed in the Lord who cannot be disturbed by the smiles, glances, and words of the most beautiful women with broad hips and smiling faces. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:15-20. So whatever is there, because we can see is that when you take what it means, because otherwise you'd have to go through everything. But you don't have to go through it. If you want to make the point that the senses are only connected to Krishna, and you want to make that very clear, then you bring in that they're not distracted by the beauty of the women that are there in Vaikuntha. Because women are always, you could say, the epitome of beauty. Whatever there is, that aspect of beauty is always there in them. Because, as we said, engaging the senses in Krishna's service, then depending upon what you're interacting with, there's only so many senses working. But the masculine and feminine interaction between let's say husband and wife, that all the senses are engaged, all the five senses, everything's engaged. And so that's the aspect, is that if you just mention this point, then you're going to say is that, yes, of course. And we know when we say that, it means then the women there, they're not distracted by the men. You know, because it always goes that way. Because in the Vedic system in Sanskrit, you give the example always in masculine. Because if it's masculine, it's generic, right? Like, let's say we have a room full of women and men. And if I give an example about some man, the man understand it, the women understand it, and the women aren't embarrassed. Now, let's say I give the same example, but now I give it concerning women and what they go through. Now, the man may or may not understand it, and the women will understand it, but they also might be a little embarrassed, right? Especially if you're pointing out a fault. I can point out, means in a mixed group, you can point out faults of men, you know, until the cows come home and there's no problem, right? But if you're pointing out a fault in women, then that's always going to be an issue. So in the Vedic, for just general conversation, the example is always given from about, you know, the living entity from the masculine position, right? Does that make sense? So that's why then you just have to give this one example and it's done. But it applies to everybody, so it moves around. Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. The planets of the devotees are attained by worship of the Lord, not by karma, right? So it's not by doing good karma. That's why they get to Vaikuntha, from devotion only. While in the heavenly planets, we see they've gotten there by secondary attributes, by secondary dharma, right? By performing varnashram, by knowledge, by skills, by different things that they've done, charity, that's how they get there. But in devotional service, I mean, Vaikuntha is attained because of the primary, because of the actual dharma. Parishya lokan karma chitan brahmano nirvedam ayan nastar krita kritena. After examining all the worlds attained by karmas, the brahmana should become indifferent. One cannot attain freedom from karma by acts of karma. Mundaka Upanishad 1:2-12. Right. So the point is that you're going to a nice karma that has to be obtained. So we can see it's from the Upanishad, is that after you examine what's available through karma, you can see it's only temporary and it's full of difficulties. While the spiritual world, that is attained by not being involved in this. So there's an indifference. So indifference means it's not a negative, it's neutral, right? Because the tendency is if something's good, something has to be bad. So here it's the Lord's creation, but we have nothing to do with it, you know, other than what's our particular, you know, secondary dharma and that, then that's how we're related to it. But otherwise it doesn't have a value other than its use in Krishna consciousness. And so then it's not by the secondary religious activities, it's by the primary, by bhakti. And one coming to that platform, then this is sannyas. So that's why in the Gita is mentioning what activity you do is for Krishna. That's sannyas. That means you're indifferent to the idea of doing it for yourself. It's not important. You won't deal with that. Akrita means the planet with no karma. Gita also speaks of the Lord's planet. Tad evam sharanam gaccha sarva bhavena bharata. Tat prasadat param shanti stanam prapsyasi shashvatam. O descendant of Bharata, take refuge in the Paramatma alone with all your facilities. By his mercy, you will attain the eternal spiritual abode. Bhagavad Gita 18:62. Thus spoke, the Lord spoke thus. Right? So Krishna's point is, don't get involved in all these other things. Be indifferent. Just perform your duties to Krishna. And that means your primary and whatever secondary is natural or recommended for your position. Do all those in connection with Krishna. And then you attain the transcendental realm. Right? So that means that in the material world, that I perform the activities, with a proper understanding and activity, but with attachment, it'll get me to these heavenly planets. But if I perform the same activity without attachment or with this indifference, nishkarmya, then this nishkam karma yoga is going to liberate me. But it's the devotion to Krishna that'll get me into the spiritual world. So that's the point is that the secondary is so that you never forget Krishna and it liberates you. And that the primary is you always remember Krishna, and that's what brings you to the transcendental realm. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah? Okay. Anucheda 65. Yeah? Anucheda 65. The planet is further described. Okay. A person fixed in Dharma attains the post of Brahma after 100 births. And by more pious acts than that, a person attains me, Shiva. But the devotee attains the abode of Vaikuntha beyond the material world after leaving the body. Similarly, I, in another form, reside there. And the devatas who are qualified go there after destroying their subtle bodies. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:24-29. So Shiva is pointing out is that you're fixed in Dharma. So it's mentioned that if someone for 100 lifetimes perfectly follows Varnashram, then he can become Lord Brahma, right? The post of Brahma. And so we see is that just by doing that very nicely in this life, which may be a culmination like this, he goes to the planet, but he becomes Brahma if it's that. But he said if it's more piety than that, then they attain to Shiva. They attain to his place. So that's why it's a higher realm. But those for the devotees, they attain Vaikuntha. They go to Krishna. After great punyas, a person attains me, Shiva. However, after giving up his body, the devotee of the Lord attains Vaikuntha, Vaishnava Padam, which is beyond the material world, avyakritam, which produces material name and form. Right? It's beyond this material world. Just as I, upon gaining qualification, can reside there, the devatas gaining qualification and destroying their bodies, Kaltyaye can go there. Shiva spoke thus to the Prachetas. Right? So the point is if you are absorbed in devotion to the Lord, then you can go there to Vaikuntha. Otherwise, just by karma, then you get to your particular places in the material platform. Preeti. Next, the characteristics of devotees who are qualified to attain Vaikuntha planet is detailed. The devotees of the Lord are not attached to the wealth or opulence of the Vaikuntha, as they only desire for devotional service under the Supreme Lord eternally. But the Lord, being affectionate to his devotees, bestows upon them all the opulences of the Vaikuntha planet. Okay, Anucheda 66. There is no unsteadiness or falling in the spiritual world. The devotees certainly do not desire attainment of the happiness of the material universe, piled up by Maya, the powers of yoga cities. By following bhakti. Okay. The auspicious rewards of residing in Vaikuntha are the bliss of Brahman. But the devotees attain the planet of me, the Supreme Lord, right? So they're not doing it for these things. They're doing it to please the Lord, right? They may be comfortable with the four kinds of Vaishnava liberation, because of the element of the opulences and everything that's there in service to the Lord. But they're not actually worried about that. That's their motive for it. The motive is devotion and pleasing the Lord. Udriti, Srila Prabhupada. By the grace of the Lord, a devotee can achieve wonderful success by willing. But a real devotee does not like that. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has taught that one should not desire material opulence and material reputation. Nor should one try to enjoy material beauty. One should simply aspire to be absorbed in the devotional service of the Lord, even if one does not get liberation but has to continue the process of birth and death unlimitedly. Actually, however, to one who engages in Krishna consciousness, liberation is already guaranteed. Devotees enjoy all the benefits of the higher planets and the Vaikuntha planets also. It is especially mentioned here. Bhagavatim Bhadram, in the Vaikuntha planets, everything is eternally peaceful. Yet a pure devotee does not even aspire to be promoted there. But still he gets that advantage. He enjoys all the facilities of the material and spiritual worlds, even during the present lifespan. Right, so he's getting all that, you know, the benefit there is to gain from that position. But he's not aspiring for that. It's the devotion to the Lord. These are secondary aspects. Right? They may be comfortable with the connection of things to Krishna. But the point is it's only because of that devotion to Krishna that gets them to their place. It's not by any other process. So that's the point. The devotees have that qualification. The devotees in the spiritual world are never deprived of any enjoyment. My wheel of time does not afflict those devotees. For I am a lover, the Atma, son, friend, elder, companion, or worshipable deity. Srimad Bhagavatam 3:25, 37-38. After the destruction of ignorance, ataha, the devotees do not desire the wealth of enjoyment, vibhutim, manifested as the reward by the mercy towards the devotee, mayaya. Nor do they desire sharsti or wealth directly related to the Lord, Bhagavatim Shriyam. Though they do not desire these, because they desire only the happiness of bhakti, still they attain my planet called Vaikuntha. This shows the affection of the Lord for the devotee. Right? Dhamma shows unshakable devotion for Krishna. Right? You can still hear? Yes? Okay. Sudama shows unshakable devotion for Krishna, the supreme soul of all existence, friendship with his devotees, and compassion for all living entities. Right, so we see that's in that Srimad Bhagavatam 10:41-51. Not only did Krishna grant Sudama these benedictions, but he also awarded him strength, long life, fame, beauty, and ever-increasing prosperity for his family. Then Krishna and his elder brother took their leave. Srimad Bhagavatam 10:41-52. So all these secondary things are automatically come if you have devotion. Like we see is Nrisimhadeva is offering to Prahlad Maharaj, you know, these benedictions, but he's not taking them. He only wants the devotion. But if you get devotion, they come anyway. So the devotee needs to be absorbed in the Lord. These things come along. He doesn't need to separately focus on these activities. This shows that the devotees are not attached to these things. Since the vibhutis offered after ignorance is destroyed, and they are bestowed by the mercy of the Lord, maya cha chitam, it cannot be said that the devotees have material desires. Mayaya chitam, wealth piled up by maya, can also mean the wealth attained in Brahmaloka. The devotees have all wealth under their control, but they do not want to enjoy it, since they consider it all insignificant. Tad yate ha karma jito lokan kshiyate evam eva mutra punya jito loka kshiyate. Just as places attained by the results of actions in this life perish, places in the future life attained by pious acts of this life are also destroyed. Chandogya Upanishad. So whatever you have now, it will be destroyed with time. And whatever you will attain in future lives due to your piety now will also be destroyed. So only bhakti is not destroyed. So, and the opulence that comes with that, that's never destroyed. Ataya ihat manam anu vidya prajantye thams cha satya kamams tesham sarveshu lokeshu kama charo bhavati. Those persons who depart from here while knowing Atma and true desirable objects wander at will in all worlds. Chandogya Upanishad. Without exception of any planet, no, the planet. Without exception of any planet, there must be destruction of enjoyment for the enjoyer, as happiness has happens in Swarga. End quote. In Vaikuntha, which does not change, Shanta Rupe, a devotee who lives there, not deprived of any enjoyment at any time. Nang Shati, my wheel of time, Animisha Heitihi, does not devour them. Right, so for the devotees, time doesn't destroy things because that's what it does here. You know, you have the past, present, and future, but for the devotees, they're always absorbed in the Lord, and those opulences that are there from that, they're never destroyed. Brahma lokam abhisampadyate nacha punar avartate.
Maharaj?
He will then. Yes, please.
Can we say that time doesn't destroy anything only in the spiritual world?
It doesn't even destroy it here. Whatever is opulence is given by Krishna, it's not destroyed. Right? You see, let us say, like I saw an example. Someone was telling me, they were quite surprised that they were in England and they had, you know, back in the 90s, remember they had those, I think it was 96, then all those Prabhupada 100 years, you know, get all the Prabhupada disciples there and everyone speak and all that kind of stuff. So there had been a person, devotee, I think, you know, one of the preachers and all that, the sannyasi, that had left the movement 20 years before. You know, no one had really seen him or anything like that. Somehow or another, for this program, he showed up. And then when they had everybody speak, you know, when he spoke, you know, this devotee, because he was around, you know, in the 70s, and when that devotee was there, was a major preacher. And he was commenting how he spoke in that wasn't any different than then. You know, it would be like, as if this was just, you know, yesterday he gave the class there and this is the next day. So that's the point, is so he had that ability to speak and attract people through the speaking. And so that is never lost. When Krishna gives something, you see, it's never lost. And we see if it does, it's temporary. Krishna has some plan, like Arjuna, you know, he becomes bewildered. When we always see is that how determined he is, focused he is, he's never deviated. But we see for the opening of Bhagavad Gita, he is, you know, or we see is he can't be defeated by anyone. All the great person, even the demigods can't defeat him and all that. And so then, but we see is that he gets attacked by cowherd men with sticks and he can't do anything. They come, grab all the queens and disappear. So if Krishna wants that, yes, it'll be there for some kind of pastime. There's something to be done. But the point is something once it's there, that is the service. That's what's done. You know, so that kind of thing. That doesn't mean that, okay, you have some money and that it'll always be there. You know, I have a stack of rupees on the shelf. I can take however much I want. And when I come back later, it will be, all of them will be there again. No, that's not necessarily, you know. But the point is that the eternal nature of the relationship with Krishna's servant, the qualities being used in Krishna's service, and that focus on Krishna to please Krishna, that remains. That doesn't change. that's unaffected. Does that make sense? Yeah? Is that okay? Yeah? Okay. Okay. Then okay, he will then attain Brahman and never return, Chandogya Upanishad, because he attains to the transcendental position. When Naishkarmya will give you liberation. That's just how it works. That's why we talk Naishkarmya, but we just use that as a platform to serve Krishna, which is in bhakti. So for us, Naishkarmya is our natural platform of activity. And attaining to pure bhakti or prema, that's our goal. But let's say for the impersonalists and the gyanis, they they engage themselves in Naishkarmya to get liberation. So they're trying to come to that Naishkarmya platform. For them, it's a goal because that gives them the liberation. So very, very different. So for us, it's just the best place to work from. You know, it's just like you want to do certain work, you go to the office. Another, you want to take a nap, you go to your bedroom. You want to take a bath, you go to the bathroom. You know, so you have the place. So this Naishkarmya, then that works. That's the best for these things. Right? That's just the natural platform for the devotee. Yeah. So, yeah. Okay. Abrahma bhuvanal loka punar avartinor juna mam upetya tu kaunteya punar janman avidyate. O Arjuna, all those including the inhabitants of Brahmaloka take birth again. But having attained me, O son of Kunti, a person does not take birth again. Bhagavad Gita 8:16. Param utkritstam ayanam stanam punar avriti shanka rahitam iti paryaya yayana paraya parayana pumlinga pakshe bahu vritihi. Paraya means the place, ayam, which is excellent, para, without fear of returning to the material world. It is bahu vrihi, compound in the masculine, sahasranama bhasya. But so it's that supreme place which you never return from. That is not their only greatness. For those persons with prema bhakti, yesham, who know nothing except me, I am everything to them, a lover, the Atma, son, friend, elder, companion, or worshipable deity. Or this can express relationships in Goloka. There, the bhavas and cowherds are eternal. Or the last line is an answer to the question, quote, after Vidya ends, with what bhava do they attain your planet? Oh, after Avidya ends, with what bhava do they attain your planet? According to Padma, yes, please.
All right, so just to clarify on that point, the level of prema and to be in Vaikuntha, it seems to be the same kind of situation. So there is not a question of fall down from both of those.
No, no. Means once you attain to the tripada, you know, aspect of the Lord, you attain to that, you'll never come back. Because the point is you're on the transcendental platform. You have no, you don't have any of the four defects that are there in the conditioned living entity. So then when you compare the material and the spiritual, and if the material is just a drop compared to the ocean of being situated on liberation, and liberation is a fraction of a portion of a drop compared to the unlimited ocean of bhakti, the comparison, it just is it's no comparison. You know, it's just be like, let's say you don't know something, so I come along and I have this little nice little box, fancy box, and I open the box with great, you know, flair and that, and I get out a spare tweezers and I pull out one grain of sand and I put it down, you know, on a special, you know, little thing in front of you. I say, hey, how would you like to buy something very expensive here? And you go, okay, and you don't know. So then you get it. Then you find out later that that's just a grain of sand. right? Now, later on, when let's say the Hope Diamond or something like that, you know, something like, you know, diamond this big, right? And then, and you have that, and then somebody comes along with a gap, brings out the little box, gets out the little tweezers, says, hey, I'll trade you this grain, this very impressive and very valuable, you know, grain of sand here for that, you know, big white kind of thing you got there. Are you going to do it? No. Right? So that's the whole thing, is that there's a saying in English, once burnt, twice shy. You'll never do it again. So that's the whole point, is that no one has to worry that they won't fall down, because they just, there is no comparison. And there's also, it's explained in that purport, I think it's with the four Kumaras and all that, that Krishna will always come along. And even if something is going to go wrong, you know, in the way of, let's say, two Vaishnavas don't agree on something, Krishna will intervene and you know, just smooth things out. Even his point is that it doesn't happen, but even if it did, Krishna would adjust it, right? So it doesn't happen. Because as soon as Krishna's there, then everybody's focused on the same, and then everything's unified. Because their disagreement will be on how to engage the senses in pleasing Krishna. There'll be different attitudes of how that's best to be done. Right? Does that make sense? So one will never come back. Yes.
Said that the three aspects of Tripad Vibhuti.
Your speaker's on? Your mic's on?
Tripad Vibhuti, the three aspects, one is Amrita, the second one is Abhaya, and the third one is Kshema. For the spiritual world, these are the three aspects. So,
are you getting an echo here? Yeah, turn off your mic. Now explain it.
Amrita, Abhaya, and Kshema. So one of the aspects is naturally it is what you call the inherent aspect of spiritual world is the Abhaya. So because of which?
Fearlessness.
And Kshema.
We can't hear him.
You can't hear him either. This is a problem. Okay, we will try something else here. Put your microphone on.
The three aspects are Amrita, Abhaya, and Kshema. So the inherent aspect is one of the inherent aspects is Abhaya. So because of which it's fearless. And then Kshema is also like always secure. And then Amrita is eternal. Both of these aspects
are fearless, eternal, and what was the middle one?
Shema is like secure.
Secure. Okay. So transcendental. Okay, now turn off your mic. Yeah.
Transcendental gain and safety eternally is there. Yeah. Okay, how are we doing? Brahman attained Brahman. Those who thought him as the sun attained him as a sun. Srinida is in the plural to indicate different types of friendship. Narada says in the fourth canto, Shantasama Drisha Shudhaya Sarva Bhutanu Ranjana Yant Yanjas Sachutapadam Achuta Priya Bandhava. The friends of the Lord, those who are peaceful, seeing all things equally, pure and pleasing to all beings, easily go to the Lord's abode. Srimad Bhagavatam 4:12-37. Right. So the idea is that this point of saying friend, the friends of the Lord means all those who are friendly. In other words, the Shakyam, like in Shakyam Atmane Vedanam, that it's all about pleasing the Lord. They're doing what is pleasing to the Lord. Kapila spoke thus. Okay, so that ends that Anucheda. So then we'll end here for this class. Then we'll take a few minute break. And then we'll start again at 10:05. That's good? 5 minutes, or do we want more? Five, okay. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Shri Prabhupada.